Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Jazz all the way back. McCormick at the wall. We'll watch it go. That'll be the third extra base hit of the game for Nolan Arenado, and a home run to make it 8-0 St. Louis. Arenado's second home run of the season.
It's one thing to get two doubles and a home run from former Astros enemy Nolan Arenado last night. It's another to find out why he's not a Houston Astro. He's off to a pretty good start. He's hitting, what, 312? You heard his second home run of the season. Two doubles as well in a game where the Astros offense didn't really show much. Nolan Arenado didn't just do that to you during the game. Before the game, he explained why he did not waive his no-trade clause to be traded to the Houston Astros a couple of weeks ago. And honestly, the more that I read this story about it that Chandler Rome put together in The Athletic, Nolan Arenado reminds me a little bit of me. Very indecisive about options. So he likes the Astros. As far as Jose Altuve is concerned, before yesterday's game, Arenado said he's probably the greatest hitter of our generation as far as bat-to-ball skills, end quote. Can you remember the last time that somebody who is not Jose Altuve's teammate complimented him like that? Seriously, all the Yankees just bitch about how he won the MVP in 2017. I feel like the Dodgers did something similar. That's honestly the first praise I feel like I've heard of Jose Altuve on that level. The greatest hitter of our generation as far as bat-to-ball skills? And then on Yordan Alvarez, Nolan Arenado said this. I mean, tough to not like him. Yordan Alvarez is one of the best power hitters ever. Damn. He could have been a part of that lineup. Why didn't you join? But the reason he didn't go, and this was reported, we just didn't hear it from Nolan Arenado himself, is that the changes the Astros made this offseason gave him cold feet. But not to the point where he actually said outright no. He just had second thoughts, and he didn't want to be rushed into a decision. Here's what he had to say about Kyle Tucker. Tucker is one of the best players in the game. When you see a team trade him, 99 out of 100 players would probably be wondering, what does that mean? That's the question I ask myself. And obviously, if I went there, Alex Bregman wouldn't have been going there. That's another player. So the trade doesn't happen. Those were some reasons for pressing the pause button when the Astros and the Cardinals asked him to waive his no-trade clause. More from Nolan Arenado. This was the red flag moment. There were rumors of me going there, and there was a chance, but at the end of the day, Bregman wasn't going back there. I think that kind of threw everybody off. I think we all thought there was a chance he would retire an Astro. That group of players, it just seemed like they all gelled well together. When you saw that not happening, it's kind of crazy. Arenado continued saying, seeing both Framber Valdez and Ryan Presley's names appear in trade rumors heightened his apprehension about accepting a trade. Presley, of course, was traded to the Cubs. Framber Valdez is still around, but I do think, after a start like last night, that Dana Brown is at the very least thinking about it. Would I do it? Probably not. I'm all in. I am not trying to strip any more parts off this Astros team. I said in the show open, if the window is open, then I'm just going to leave it open, even if things hit the fan, even if there's a fire outside, even if it's 115 degrees in the midst of a Houston summer. I'm leaving that window open. I'm not stripping any more parts. I think the Astros, though, are probably thinking about it. They're thinking to themselves, damn, if this season continues to go this way and say we have our first year in a while where there's no playoff performance at the trade deadline, what do we do about Fromberg? So we did talk about that, and if you want to weigh in on that on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, you can. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Back to Nolan Arenado, who kicked the Astros' ass last night and also revealed why he did not waive his no-trade clause to join the Astros this offseason. He got a little gaslighty. Quote, I said to the Astros, I'm not saying no, I just can't make a decision in the window that they needed it. I respect the Astros because they can't wait for me to make my decision, continued Arenado. They have to move on, and they have to make the team better, which they did. They got Christian Walker. They did some other things. I can see how it was taken as no, but they know I didn't say no. It was more of, I need to see how this all plays out first. And I guess things were moving too quickly for Arenado to change his mind about how it all was playing out. But remember, there was some reporting after it was said that Arenado did not waive his no-trade clause, that Arenado was still thinking about it and that the Astros were still thinking about it. It just never changed. Here's more from Arenado, and this is why he's not a member of the Houston Astros right now, after a 2-double home run as well night last night against the Astros and an 8-3 loss for Houston. More from Arenado. Quote, the window was a few days, a length that didn't feel right to me for such a consequential decision. When asked if he sought any input from Astros players or officials while making his decision, Arenado said, quote, not really, end quote. Quote, I didn't want to rush into it. I didn't feel comfortable making that decision within that time frame. I had to make sure they knew that because I didn't want to bring them along for a long time and just tell them no, that didn't feel right. Isn't it a little gaslighty? I'm not saying no. I just can't make the decision right now, but I didn't want to string them along. But you are saying no. I mean, decisions like this, these are the kind of decisions that you do have to make in the moment, right? It's an opportunity to play for a team that probably has a better chance to compete this year than the Cardinals do. Did you see how empty Busch Stadium was last night? Good God. I thought that was a baseball town. I thought Cardinals fans and the Cardinal way was all that mattered, right? And I know a lot of you guys who remember the Cardinals from the National League day just as much as you hated Albert Pujols and some of those other Cardinals players who gave the Astros troubles in the early 2000s, you hate Cardinals fans because those people are insufferable. Oh, we do it the right way. Oh, shove it up your ass. You know what? Like, piss off, you know? I hated hearing about how Cardinals fans do it the right way. What a load of crap. So you hated this, but Nolan Arenado could have left that situation for this situation, and he said no. And the answer that he gave, while I appreciate the honesty, him being forthcoming, I do feel like he's being a little bit gaslighty with how he's saying it. I didn't actually say no. No, you did. You said no. You didn't waive the no trade clause. You did say no. It's okay. You're entitled to that decision. You're with the Cardinals now. Maybe at the trade deadline, things change and the Astros make a trade for you and move Isak Paredes somewhere else. I don't know. All I know is, yes, you did tell them no. You did. Like, don't give us the, oh, I didn't really say no. And he's framing it as, I'm not making a decision now. If you have to go make your team better, do what you have to do. No, this is either you commit or you don't. Committing is a yes. Not committing is no.
Yeah, the fact that you're like, oh, let me wait and see. It's like, then what are you supposed to, what are the Astros supposed to do?
Exactly.
Like, save a spot for you just in case you say yes? Like, that to me is that's the part where it's obviously his side of the story, because what were you waiting on? Like, that seems to be the important part. That's why you didn't sign,
right?
Is that you're waiting on something. What'd you wait on? A different team?
Yeah.
I get why you can't say that, but that feels like a key part in figuring out why, like, he could not be lying. He could be not lying, just not sharing the whole thing. It was like, well, I was waiting to see if the Dodgers would trade for me. I was waiting to see if, like, another team would trade for me.
It does feel like that. And it does seem a little bit like dating in 2025.
It is.
You're always looking for better options, and you don't want to commit to something that actually might be good. This is how I'm at. I am. I mean, really, this is 100% me. For example, have been on a few dates with someone who's pretty cool. We'll see where it goes. But also have, let's say, like, somebody that I've known for a while, like a lot as a person, probably should like this person a little bit more, and I don't. And then on top of that, I don't know, maybe you run into somebody and that's really attractive at a bar one night, and the next thing you know, you're watching a TV show. It's one of those things where I'm commitment phobic, and by being commitment phobic, at least right now, I'm saying no to things. I'm saying no to things that are being offered to me. That's what Arenado did. And it's funny that he's saying, like, I didn't actually say no. No, you did. You didn't commit. All you had to do is waive your no trade clause. Now you're stuck with the Cardinals. And hey, look, the Cardinals did beat the Astros last night. I wonder what will happen today with Hunter Brown on the hill. I think it should go a little bit better, but the Astros offense obviously has to score a little bit. But you did say no. Don't gaslight us, man. You're already kicking our ass.
Well, at the very least, he didn't say yes. That to me feels
exactly
key. He didn't say yes.
Right.
It's how else are we supposed to take it?
So it's basically a no.
Yeah, it's a no.
Right.
Also, Isak Paredes, younger and seems like just as good.
I'm going to base all of my opinions of Nolan Arenado off of last night. And last night, Nolan Arenado. I want Nolan Arenado. Last night, Nolan Arenado.
Isak Paredes hit a home run in three straight games.
True, but that was but didn't hit a bush.
That was the three games before this one.
Yeah, exactly. Sean, I'm I'm the ghost of Christmas present. There's no short-term memory. There's no long-term, you know, thoughts. It's just what happened last night. Oh, Nolan Arenado was awesome. Well, why didn't we get him? And he explained why, and he's being a little gaslighty about it. Which, again, I appreciate his honesty. And he was very complimentary of a lot of things that the Astros do, but he did say no. Like, stop. Spare us with this, okay? That's all.
Yeah, actually, now this makes me not like the Yordan Alvarez, the best power hitter ever. And
Jose Altuve, the best hitter of the generation?
Yeah, now I'm like, you're laying it on thick, dude.
Yes.
Don't try to pity me.
On Altuve, Arenado said, probably the greatest hitter of our generation as far as bat-to-ball skills. Yordan, one of the best power hitters ever. I mean, high praise, and yeah, you're still
feels
in St.
Like
Louis.
Feels like a team you'd want to play with.
Also, St. Louis sucks. It's like everyone dumbs on it. Everyone hates St. Louis as a city. And Chicago trolls St. Louis, too. Like, back in the day, you know, the river, whatever river goes all the way through Missouri and up to Chicago. Chicago used to screw with St. Louis and, like, change the actual flow of the river and literally did it just troll St. Louis. This is why Chicago and St. Louis, this is why Cubs, Cardinals, big deal rivalry. I see some people on the Twitcher saying that they hate the Cubbers more than they hate the Cardinals. I suppose a lot of those NL Central teams you hate, but I think Cardinals hate was strong last night. I think the thing is, for a lot of people, you know, if you don't have that history knowledge of sports, which I do think we should do a better job with, and I need to do a better job with myself. I do appreciate history. You do forget that sometimes there were teams that you hated. You hated with the fire of a thousand suns. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. On the other side, who would have thought this canceled band would get his own renaissance? I'm a connoissance of sorts. We'll do that next. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios? Here's Paul Gallant.
So, John Gruden works at Barstool now. Yes, disgraced former football coach John Gruden, who you probably remember from his time with the Oakland Raiders at the turn of the century, his Super Bowl championship in time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his time as the number one color commentator for football for a period of time. A lot of people liked him. I wasn't the biggest fan, but he definitely had the title belt when he was doing Monday Night Football with Mike Tirico. And then John Gruden was the coach of the Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders again. And then emails came out that he had exchanged with Bruce Allen of the then Washington Redskins that were problematic in nature, and he was canned right away. An investigation into how terrible of an owner Dan Snyder was led to emails being thrown up that distracted people from what a POS Dan Snyder is. And I think we can all agree, as far as owners go across sports, there are few that have been less likable than Dan Snyder. Gruden's charming, even if he doesn't write exactly the most polite emails, to put it like that. So now all of a sudden, since I think the start of football season, he has been an analyst for Barstool Sports. And it's been interesting to see him back in his element because now he's uncensored and on the internet, and he's doing a lot. Here he is giving a pep talk to players at Wisconsin.
Everybody has what? Dreams. I'm into nightmares. You guys got to end people's dreams. You understand that? Miami, Ohio's coming in here in a couple months. You end their dreams. Okay? And then you get on with the schedule. But everybody's got dreams. Now it's your job to end those dreams and become a nightmare coming out of the tunnel. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number two is there's a thing called the team. It's called the what?
Team.
The team. There's a lot of people, I think, in football now that aren't invested in the team. Are we clear on that?
Yes,
I want you to envision a big rock right here. The rock is the opponent. And if you pound that rock by yourself, that rock won't crack. If you pound a rock with them, that rock won't crack. And that rock is Michigan. That rock is Alabama. We all got a pound of what?
Rock.
We all got a pound of what?
Rock.
Okay, invest in this team.
This is a good pep talk. And it actually made a little bit of sense.
I'm not looking for dreams. I'm looking for nightmares.
All right. That's going to get my attention. I'd stop looking at my phone for a little bit. Just a little bit, though. I'd probably go back to my phone eventually.
It is like a good line, but then he talks about killing other people's dreams. That's not really what a nightmare is, but whatever.
I think we all need to pound the rock a little bit more in this little game that we like to call life, too.
Together,
man.
As a people.
If Wisconsin is in the Big Ten championship this year, will this be the speech that they play in the championship video? It might. Yeah, it might.
It all started on April, whatever, 15th.
It all started when a canceled football coach came into our locker room and gave us a 3-minute speech or so.
A coach who won a national championship before any of these players were alive, or won a Super Bowl before any of these players were alive, and came in and talked to him about breaking rocks.
More from John Gruden, who's in the midst of a Grudenessence of sorts, huh? A Grudenessence? Does that work a little bit better? Grudenessence or a Grudenessence?
Grudenessence.
Okay. But he's in the midst of it. Just like Matthew McConaughey had a McConaissance, John Gruden's in the midst of a Grudenance. He's in the midst of a Grudenance. Whatever. You get what I'm trying to say. Stop laughing, okay? I'm trying to be creative and funny and cute. Here's more John Gruden. He was speaking with, as part of his quarterback camp, and he's not getting Shedeur Sanders and he's not getting Cam Ward, but he did get Memphis quarterback Seth Hanigan. I don't know what's happening here. I'll just leave it at that. Here's John Gruden talking to a college kid.
You ever have a cat come in your house and just shit all over the floor?
I've never had that.
Don't like it, man.
Hate it.
You got to let these cats know. Hey, when we're in snug, watch a cat. Be very sensitive about the cats. Linemen got to get out on a bang. Backs got to scan out pass protection. But I want you to be alert for these cats. Now, if we ever sense a double corner cat, you can smell these things out. You start hearing these defensive guys. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! They make their signals. They can't help themselves. They're all fired up. Cougar. Like a cat. Yeah. Not a cougar that you're thinking of. Yeah. Okay, don't be...
Not exactly.
Yeah. You cat, cougar. It's a form of a cat, you see.
Yes, sir.
Cougar, New York. I want to run right into the cat.
I'm completely lost on this one. I like how along the way, Seth Hannigan, the Memphis quarterback, says, I'm not Zach Wilson.
Just a random... just
because the cougar tangent is weird. I mean, the Memphis Tigers, not the Memphis Cougars. It's a very...
I think the cat is the corner blitz.
Gotcha.
And he's saying that the signal for the cat should be cougar, like the cat, not the woman.
Okay. I think. I'm still lost.
No.
But I appreciate your grasp of whatever happened there.
It still is a tangent. It still is. And I thought you just call it cat?
I thought my tangents were ridiculous. I mean, imagine starting a conversation. This might be the new line that I use on the dating apps. Can we play the beginning of this again one more time?
You ever have a cat come in your house and just shit all over the floor?
I think that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be my opening line now.
I also like so then he can answer that. I've never had that happen. Of course.
Has anyone had that happen? They find sand or litter boxes if they even go number two, because if they're in an area that they're uncomfortable with, they generally don't go because they don't want predators to know that they've been there. That's why they poo in the sand, is because they want to bury it so that no one can find it. And same thing with pee in the litter box. That's what they do.
You ever have a cat come in your house and just shit all over the floor?
I've never had that happen.
I have never had that happen either.
Also, it's a cat coming into your house. So yeah. It's like, theoretically, it's not your cat.
No.
It's just a different cat walking into your house.
I mean, it's the ballsiest cat of all time. The only time that I've ever had moments like this is where every now and then, because cats will bolt out of the litter box after they've gone, sometimes because they're trying to get away from predators and stuff. And every now and then, if you got a cat that's got a little extra fur, which mine does, every now and then there might be one clumped in the hair, you know. So you might drag it out, might make a couple of steps outside of the litter box, if you will. So I've had that happen, but no, John Gruden, I've never had a cat come into my house and take a crap on the floor.
You ever have that happen? No. No, coach.
And then he just keeps going. I'm impressed by it.
It is just a rhetorical question. It is. I don't think he was looking for an answer.
No, but I'm still just so taken aback by that being the first part of the question.
Is that part of? Do you think that's part of his evaluation of a quarterback? Is like, I'm just going to throw some crazy stuff at you just to see how you react. Like, I'm going to be an insane person just to see what happens.
With the combine photos or something? Or combine interviews? Yeah.
And he's just doing this here to Seth Hannigan for some reason?
Yeah. And that's my new opening line. I like it. It's so out of nowhere that I might take this out for a test drive the next time I'm just out and about randomly. King of Twitch asks, Paul, how often do you show women you meet photos of Aria? Actually, very often, and they generally love it. I've been told my cat is I have a very pretty pussy. She's a very pretty pussy cat. She is. Whoa. Why are you making that face? That's what it is. You know, she's a pretty cat. I've done this before. I've gone up to people, and I've done the slow build. I have the most important question to ask you. You've never heard a more important question than this. I mean, it's like my slow build on leading up to some sort of stupid radio bet that I'm about to do. I've done this before, and then I slowly went up to, do you like cats? And guess what? This person liked cats.
Boom. Swish.
Nothing but net.
Yeah, I'm just like that Braves reporter. Yeah.
Make asking people out in uncomfortable situations a thing again. You know, make it great again.
We go down to our sideline reporter who's got a couple fans. A question to ask them?
You ever have a cat come in your house and just shit all over the floor?
I'm sorry. This is so good. Yeah, I think we need to keep that as a drop going forward. At some point, we're going to organize our drops, and the Astros who keep enabling my procrastination by with their slow starts. This, I think, is going to make it. Maybe we have like drop Olympics or something like that. Which sound effects do we want to use all the time, and which do we not want to use? Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. People are telling us their most fearsome cat poo stories. For the 281, Paul, I got a cat. It's an outdoor tomcat. Took it in. He eats squirrels. He kills rats. He'll poop on top of the rats that he kills. That seems like overkill. This is a little Genghis Khan cat. From the 713, I was hunting in West Texas. A mountain lion came into our cabin and took a dump in our grits. Interesting. That's if the grits were uncooked, I could see why they'd do it. So there you go. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, another NFL trade on the horizon? It seems that way. Who could be potentially traded? And should the Texans be in? We'll discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. I am so thankful that the Houston Texans have two good cornerbacks because we do not even have to engage with this story. Coming out of the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins are having trade talks with other NFL teams about... Might be thinking that I'm about to say wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Nope, I think they're okay with Tyreek Hill's latest shenanigans off the field in Miami. Nope. They're having trade talks with other NFL teams about Jalen Ramsey. GM Chris Greer confirmed that today. Per Greer, after discussions between the team and Ramsey, quote, "We decided it was probably in the best interest for all parties to move forward." Sorry, that was weird sounding. I was burping as I was talking. Never a good thing. Ramsey did not ask for a trade. When asked about Tyreek Hill, Chris Greer said, "They're not trying to trade him." Quote, "That is not anything that we're pursuing. But like I said, who knows? If someone wants to come and give me two first-round picks, then we'd consider it. But as of right now, it's not something we're considering." It's a messy offseason for the Dolphins. They lost a couple of key players this offseason already, right? I mean, they lost left tackle Teron Armstead. He signed with the Cardinals. They lost Calais Campbell as well. Tua Tagovailoa, you're never 100% sure what's going on with his health. And Tyreek Hill's in the midst of a bunch of crap right now. Always something legal-wise with Tyreek Hill off the field. Weirdly, he has, even though he's been in multiple incidents over the last couple of seasons, where whether it's the Marina incident or the OnlyFans model incident where he broke her leg allegedly, or the latest incident that involves he and a child of his, it seems like the Dolphins don't really seem to care all that much, and the NFL doesn't really seem to care all that much either. So there you go. That's the big news from today in the National Football League. It's that the Dolphins are looking to trade Jalen Ramsey. We'll see if they're actually able to make that happen.
I feel like for a team that's always like 8-9 or 9-8, the Dolphins just always have stuff going on.
Yeah, they're messy.
Like even the Tyreek Hill stuff, obviously the Tua, that's more of an in-season thing of just what happened to him.
Right.
And every offseason, it seems like there is some sort of contract dispute or off-the-field thing or now this, that they're trading Jalen Ramsey, or at least it seems like they're going to trade Jalen Ramsey. There's just always something going on with the team that is, like you said, just always mediocre.
It's a messy, messy organization. And look, I expect that to continue, just like I expect that to continue with the Jets forever. I expect it to continue with the Dolphins forever because this is who they've always been.
Yeah, it goes all the way up. I just
Stephen Ross.
Yeah, Stephen Ross, all the ownership stuff and losing draft picks because you're tampering with Tom Brady. You're getting sued by the NFL. You're not getting sued. Your coach, your ex-coach, is suing the NFL.
Yeah,
it's just always something with the Dolphins.
It must be hard for Dell. Poor Dell.
Yeah,
got to deal with the Dolphins. Got to deal with the University of Miami. Oof.
Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler just quit on his team.
Yeah, Heat culture ended this season.
Yeah, not good.
Continuing to go around the National Football League, B-Hannon offers Richie Incognito. Yep.
Yeah, that's going back a lot. Because for me, it feels like, I mean, since, 2022, there's just been a constant, drumbeat of, there's just stuff happening with the Dolphins. But, yeah, you're right. Richie Incognito, that was, the main NFL story for months.
Mm-hmm. The Brian Flores lawsuit.
Yeah, Flores.
For getting fired.
Even the tanking for Tua, and it's like, is it, I forgot who it was, but it was this is not morally right to tank like this, to ask NFL players to put their bodies on the line just to punt a season. Yeah, there's just always something going on.
You hate to see it. And as a Patriots fan, it's so tough being in the same division as two
absolute
god-awful organizations the Jets and the Dolphins.
And then playoff chokers, Buffalo Bills. But at least the Bills, they're like, hey, we make the playoffs.
Right.
Hey, we lose.
They just lose to the Chiefs all the time, which Tom Brady never did. But it's fine. It's fine. Continuing to go around the National Football League, Micah Parsons did show up for the start of the Cowboys offseason program. So it does seem like whatever contract negotiations are happening between the Cowboys and Parsons are at least amicable at this point. I do imagine he will get extended by the Cowboys eventually. Sooner, later, who knows? Dak Prescott, who the last time we talked about him, I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was on Friday, but Dak Prescott said that he could play today, but apparently his hamstring is not completely healed yet. So we shall see on that front. As far as the NFL draft, it's in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Oof. That's rough. 17 players are going to be in attendance in Green Bay. And I'm not going to lie, while I think a little bit less of these 17 for going to Green Bay for the NFL draft, I will say this. It means these guys are focused. These guys care about football. They're willing to go to just noted dreg Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it's very few attractions to sit around and potentially get drafted. So here are the players confirmed to attend. Tyler Booker, a guard from Alabama. Jihad Campbell, a linebacker from Alabama. So crazy that someone would name their kid Jihad after 9/11. Just a thought. Even if you are Muslim. 3, Will Campbell, tackle, LSU. 4, Abdul Carter, who's probably of all these picks that are going to be in attendance, the pick that will be made the earliest. Jackson Dart from Mississippi. Matthew Golden, wide receiver from Texas that the Texans have been linked to. Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan. Oh, Travis Hunter will be there. Okay. I thought Travis Hunter would never grace his presence with Green Bay, Wisconsin from Colorado. Congratulations to Travis Hunter, who had his number retired at Colorado. Semi-deserved. Though Shedeur Sanders getting his number retired when Tim Tebow's number's not retired at Florida is kind of ridiculous to me.
It's crazy how fast it happened.
Yeah. Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State. Will Johnson, defensive back from Michigan, and a bunch of other people. Jalen Milroe from Alabama.
That's crazy.
Cameron Ward from Miami. Milroe will be sitting for a while, yes. So there are some guys who will be there. I guess the first overall pick, Cam Ward's going to be there. But, yeah, it's Green Bay, Wisconsin.
They got Ward, they got Carter, they got Hunter.
They got 17 guys.
Yeah.
17, that's about right for Green Bay.
Top, they're going to get the top 3, if not the top 4. So they'll be fine.
And one last story to wrap up the 10-minute drill. Titans cornerback Legarius Sneed has been sued. Why? He's facing a lawsuit for at least $1 million. After an incident in the parking lot of a car dealership in December. What happened? Well, allegedly, either Sneed or Sneed's personal assistant shot at somebody named Christian Nishminyamana at a dealership December 6th in Carrollton, Texas. Bullets were fired from a Lamborghini Urus as it drove by One Legacy Motors. An attorney said in a statement obtained by the Associated Press that Sneed and his accomplice were arrested by the Carrollton Police Department for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Sneed and a woman who identified herself as Sneed's mother were accused of threatening this person who was shot at. And there you go. That is quite the story.
Wait, so they shot at a dealership?
That's what it sounds like.
Him and his mom.
Yes. Sneed or Sneed's personal assistant shot at this man while his mother was also in the car driving in a Lamborghini Urus outside of a dealership. This is a wild story.
I mean, because at first I thought this was, it's crazy that Legarius Sneed would be doing this. Also during in December, which is in the middle of football season.
The Titans weren't exactly playing football.
I mean, but still, just to be in Carrollton, Texas in December is crazy.
There is proof. There's video evidence from the dealership showing a car and a person who opened fire on this man who runs a exotic car rental business. He's 23 years old running an exotic car rental business.
Okay, I have questions, so
I have some questions about him, too. Right. We're on the same page on that one, Sean. I was like, okay. Sneed went to the Titans last March. He played 5 games, so he was on injured reserve with a quadriceps injury. Okay. And he spent his fourth...
Rehabbing.
He was with the Chiefs before. Oh, a former Chief player doing things that are shady off the field? Who would have thought? Good God. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. The Astros struggling. Is a Fromber trade in the cards at the trade deadline? We'll discuss that more. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. We have a caller. Keith has an NBA question. Keith, yo.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on the show. I got an NBA question with the play-in starting tonight. Playoffs definitely around the corner. They're here. James Harden has made the playoffs all 16 years of his NBA career with 5 different teams, and the Clippers basically let Paul George walk for nothing this past offseason. Did that save the trajectory of the Clippers franchise, and was that move the right decision?
What a question. Well, look, they're only going to go as far as Kawhi takes them, and I really don't know about Paul George ever winning a title. I that's not something I think I'll ever hear, really. So the trajectory of the Clippers franchise, it's a very random question. Hey, we get random questions from time to time. It is really 100%. Is Kawhi Leonard available?
Yeah.
If Kawhi Leonard's available, and if Kawhi Leonard plays like the Kawhi Leonard we've seen in the past in these playoffs, is it that crazy to think the Clippers could win the Western Conference? I don't think it's that crazy. I wouldn't pick it to happen. I would say they're probably one of the least likely teams to win the West, because I also have questions about James Harden, especially at this age of his career, after round number one. Round one, I'll bet they have some good moments. Round two, James Harden playing that long, as you listen. What's he going to be? You know, as the playoffs go on, and when basketball stops being fake basketball like it is in the regular season, and the wear and tear actually has an effect, and guys do seem to get gassed, Harden has always been terrible in the second round of the playoffs, and we're talking like a decade ago. Like, I'll go back to that series against the Portland Trail Blazers, which is where I was one of the first to turn on Harden and said, look, he looked out of shape. He looked tired. the entire series. At the end of that series, it was Dwight Howard who was carrying them, but everyone's like, oh, James Harden. You know, Dwight Howard, just Dwight Howard. He sucks. At the end of that series, it was James Harden getting backed down by Wesley Matthews all series long and just running out of gas. That's where I first stopped liking him, and there were a lot of stands that loved him so. And then 2015 happened and all that. So anyway, I think it's really about Kawhi Leonard. Paul George being there, clearly not having much of an impact. Paul George having no impact on Philadelphia either.
Yeah, and the Clippers, like everyone, you know, and rightfully so to a certain point, giving him credit for like dodging the Paul George bullet. To be fair, they did offer him a 3-year contract at the max. He took a 4-year contract at the max.
Right, like, yeah.
They were very close to just having him on this team as well. So the saving the trajectory of the Clippers? The saving the trajectory is just Kawhi
what a
Leonard.
Random question, though.
It's just Kawhi Leonard. If he's healthy, good. If he's not, pretty party's
much.
Over.
It's pretty much that simple. This is so much time with the Clippers that I kind of want it back. Keith, we appreciate the phone call. If we're going to ask
a matchup with the Nuggets. Oh, no.
We're not doing that. A bunch of people on the Twitch are explaining that. I guess Keith calls in with a lot of just out of left field topics.
Okay.
Yeah, if Keith had like a point behind it, that's what I thought. I thought he was trying to set me up to kiss James Harden's ass, which will never happen on this show. Other than I'm impressed that James Harden can juggle playing in the NBA and going out and drinking and stuff. I am impressed by that. Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. That Astros loss yesterday, frustrating. Very frustrating. And I just want to play this audio again, Sean. If we could get the audio from that Braves-Blue Jays game last night. Another game where the Astros can't score runs. Another game where the pitching can't do everything. And Fromber has an off night, which he'll have some. This was one of his worst off nights. 5 extra base hits. That's, I think, the most he's ever allowed. This wasn't him being wild as much as the sinker, at least for the beat writers, or the curveball for Fromber wasn't working. But if we see more games like this where they can't score and the pitching struggles and they're a middling baseball team, I do think that moments like this moment on the Braves, Blue Jays broadcast on the FanDuel Network could be commonplace on Space City Home Network.
All right, good. How are you guys feeling about rooting for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
I'm on it.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she doesn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not. I'm making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless.
I got the number. We're good.
The funny thing about this is that this moment has led to the FanDuel broadcasters being crucified online. Women are pissed about this. Every single time I open up X, I see another woman calling it out. This is the most recent one. And generally, it's people that are in our field. This is Devin Caney, who is the sideline reporter for the Eagles on 94 WIP. Hey, if you think this is cool, imagine the reaction if roles were reversed and this was a woman asking. Hope this helps. This blew up because Miles Garrett, a sports reporter and anchor for Fox 5 Atlanta, posted, shout out to my guy, Wiley Ballard, setting the standard for sports reporters, getting a phone number out in the wild. 10 out of 10 work. So this thing's gotten 6.8 million views online, which is pretty insane. And it's led to a lot of people being like, yeah, high five, bro. And a lot of other people that are saying this is the worst thing that's ever happened to sports reporting. I tend to fall in the middle because I am just scared that Astros broadcasts are going to have to resort to the sideshow tactics that we saw during their first couple of games of the year. Bobby Dynamite interviews in the train that literally just got a paint job. Julia tried her best. Bobby did give her ammunition to work with. That ammunition was accidental. You got the promo lady coming in and talking about all sorts of things that no one cares about. And on top of that, you're going to get bad HEB commercials. So what's next? Julia asking fans out? Julia setting people up? And Julia's married, so I don't think she'd have to do that. But I am nervous that this is on the horizon for the Astros. I truly do not care about the do's and don'ts. Sports journalism is not real. And this is what baseball broadcasts do. They send the guy out to go find some wacky stuff in the ballpark. Because get this, and I know a lot of people are surprised by this, baseball's often boring in the regular season, especially if you're covering a team that, get this, blows, which the Braves do right now.
They were winning, though, for what it's worth.
They could do something where they grab one fan from one section, one fan to from another, be like, all right, now, oh, here's what you do. Oh, man. You basically do make it like a dating show just during the broadcast. Where you go up to the top, to the bleachers, at the very upper level, and you get, again, one single male fan, one single female fan, and you say, you know, separately, congratulations, your seats have just been upgraded. You know, you're a diehard Astros fan, blah, blah, blah. But then you put them together, and now they're watching the game together. Impromptu date.
That could work. And here's the thing with
Boom,
the way...
Just killed three innings right there.
With the way you frame that, Sean, I don't think people would hate that much. I think a lot of the women who are pushing back and saying, I would get destroyed for this. I don't know. I think in certain situations, yes, perhaps you would be called unprofessional. Oh, you're just in the locker room oogling meat, you know? Like there's going to be some people that
meat
put
watchers.
That out there. Right. But those meat watchers, by the way, they were referencing men, those NFL players who were sick of all the meat watchers. I think it was, what, Torrey Smith, former wide receiver?
Yeah, I think so. Kyle Juszczyk. I forgot who else.
Right. It was a couple other players like, oh, these meat watchers, like Grant Cohn, 49ers
That's
beat reporter. But it was one of those things where situations like this can be cute. It's definitely, if it involves a player and a silent reporter, can be considered unprofessional. I will say, as somebody who grew up rooting for the Boston Red Sox, the Red Sox have had multiple incidents where the sideline reporter and the manager and or the catcher and or multiple players have, you know, had little flings. I get it. You're on the road. But I don't think in a situation like this that the reporter herself would be called out. I do think maybe the producer, maybe the actual broadcasters themselves. But this guy just rolled with it, the sideline reporter, you know? Wiley Ballard, he just rolled with it, and he did all right. This other guy, though, Miles Garrett, I feel like he's being a little thirsty with it. He's like, yeah, my guy Wiley's asking people out on TV. Put me in, coach. He put in another tweet. Like, this guy's a little thirsty.
It's also like, that's not the hardest thing to be like, hey, I'm on TV. I'm a man on TV. Want to get drinks later? I'm a tall-ish man on TV.
A tallish man on TV.
What? I get paid to be on TV.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too, where every now and then I think about this. I like radio way better than I like TV. Radio, I feel freedom, especially here. Like, this is one of the best parts about being at ESPN Houston. It's so funny that it's ESPN. I have never had more freedom to do what I want than I have it right here. But, like, this is the exact show that I've always wanted to do, if I'm talking about sports at the very least. But if you're in TV, you can't do all those things. But everyone always says, you should do TV. And it is cooler to say you're on TV than it is to say you're on the radio. Like a certain theoretical somebody on Sunday who I was like, yeah, I'm on the radio, did not seem that impressed.
No,
like, damn.
No one cares.
I know. It kind of sucks. You're like, oh, is it like a podcast? And now it's like podcasters have the high ground. Like, that's where we've fallen.
as an industry.
Yeah.
But listen, we're doing numbies. We are doing numbies for what it's worth. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.